sitting here the last few minutes of the after or the morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 28, please. I hope I don't take away from what's been said this morning. It's been very challenging indeed. And just a few thoughts we'll just maybe pass on now. From 2 Chronicles, reading first of all in verse 24. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And in every several city of Judah he made high places of burnt incense unto other gods and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. Verse 27, and Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city, even in Jerusalem. But they brought him not unto the sepulchres of the kings of Israel. And Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his stead. Now chapter 29. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east gate and said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord is upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in my heart, make covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, not now negligence, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him, and burn incense. Then the Levites arose. Now it's interesting, if you'll notice, it does specify in verse 1 of this chapter the mother of Hezekiah. And it's interesting that in the times of the kings that the mothers are mentioned, showing the importance of godly sisters and godly mothers in these times, and I suggest in our times today. But the other thing is that has caught my attention, even as we've heard concerning the challenge to young men. We find the age is given of Hezekiah. What we would term a young man. And yet we see at the age of 25 what he did, what he stood for, and the tremendous change from the days of his father, a cruel idolater. Hezekiah stood firm and were impressed by the change that came in the time of this young man. But let's just read over. I won't read any further in chapter 29, although there's much to read there. But notice chapter 30. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel, and his princes, and all the congregation in Jerusalem, to keep the Passover in the second month. For they could not keep it at that time, because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem. But they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. So the posts and so on. Now just down the chapter, notice in verse 16. And they stood in their place after their manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests sprinkled the blood, which they received of the hand of the Levites. And then notice verse 25. Well, verse 23. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days, and they kept other 7 days with gladness. And so on, verse 25. And all the congregation of Judah, with the priests and the Levites, and all the congregation that came out of Israel, and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel, and they dwelt in Judah, rejoiced. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. Now, revival, which hasn't been touched on too much, but has been alluded to in different times, even since the prayer meeting on Friday night, is something that is necessary in the life of individuals as well as in the life of assemblies. Now, the world gets mixed up when they term revival, when they're seeing people interested in the Bible and being saved to speak about a revival. There is a difference between revival and evangelism. So David sums it up in Psalm 51 when he says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then shall transgressors be taught the right ways of the Lord, and sinners be converted unto thee." In other words, what David is saying there, speaking of personal revival, is make me right. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted. And in my life, and in your life, if there is genuine revival, which is what we need today in individual lives, then we can expect fruit in service and blessing in gospel activity. But I'm suggesting from the times, and I thought our brother Bessison might get into what I was going to speak on the other, when he was speaking yesterday, it's been on my heart for a while. Here we have, in the life of Hezekiah, an individual standing firm and influencing the people of God. And I suggest what we have here is a few brief lessons in regard to revival amongst the people of God. And I believe we're in a time right now, for many reasons, where we need to get down before God as the people of God and confess our wrong and our coldness and our wanderings and our strain and make wrong matters right between ourselves and God and between ourselves and others. Make me right. Influence the company. Seek to see the assembly revived in spirit and in heart. And I believe that's the key then. Moving out into a hostile world for God to see souls brought to Christ. It begins. We humble ourselves before God and get back to Him. Now what happened in the times of Hezekiah? Well, in chapter 28 we find the background, of course, is the conduct of his father. His father was an irreverent man who had no regard for the temple. When Hezekiah came on the scene, Hezekiah decided to make a change. And so we discover in chapter 29, the first condition of revival in the times of Hezekiah was in his life. Sometimes revival amongst us as the people of God begins with one individual of that assembly, be it small or large. Largeness is no proof of power. And smallness, no evidence of weakness. Where there's those amongst a company who have a desire for the right things of God, we find one of the first things Hezekiah did in verse number 3. He opened the doors of the temple and repaired them. I suggest from verses 3 to 5 of chapter 29, in the times of Hezekiah, he displayed a reverence for the house of God. He had some appreciation of that holy place. And I'm glad our brother Murphy has taken time this morning to bring to our attention some of these most vital truths. I wrote down a little note for my future study, and I'm going to pursue it maybe, the importance of lay involvement. I think sometimes there's men who are right in the thick of the assembly life that can minister to us from their hearts and from experience. So we discover in the times of Hezekiah, he appreciated the house of God and set out as a young man to do something to build up what even his father had torn down. And as a young man, his first task was to open the doors and to repair. Young brother, this morning, if there's in your heart a desire for this fresh quickening of God's Spirit amongst the company, he may lay upon your heart it's the task of beginning to move with God and stir the saints. But I believe that begins with an appreciation of in whose name we are gathered. Not a club, or just a loose association of a bunch of people that like to come together. But you see, we are believers. We are Christians gathered in the name and to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's why it's important to come, as we do, with an appreciation of the house of God and who is there in the midst and in whose name I have been gathered together. You were to pursue it. I won't touch it maybe at any length, but notice you find that personal cleanliness was the next thing in verse number 5. He said to the Levites, sanctify now yourselves. And then if you go through the chapter, you find following cleansing. Personal cleansing. You discover there's the worship, the offering of the sacrifices, verse 20 to 24. Offering of praise, 25 to 30. Here's the touchstone of what we need today. Is an appreciation of that holy place. Clean hands and clean hearts. And then there's the spiritual ability to give to God the sacrifice of praise, giving thanks to His name. But then the second thing I want to just touch on, I see the time is pretty well gone, but notice in chapter 30, the second characteristic of this revival in Hezekiah's time was in a respect for the people of God. Am I allowed a couple of more minutes? You discover in chapter 30, there secondly was a respect for the people. Hezekiah sent letters to all Israel. That's verse number 1. And his conduct as a leader pleased the king and all the congregation. And go back in chapter 29 and verse 24, Brother Augustine read this the other day, they made an atonement for all Israel. In other words, Hezekiah respected the people of God and sought to do his utmost to bring the company together. So what am I saying in regards to our present day today? I believe that as Christians, we need to promote unity amongst the people of God. To seek to be a help in our assembly to promote unity. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. There's power and there's strength when as believers in Christ, we make up our mind, I'll introduce nothing that divides the saints, but I'll seek by the help of God to promote unity and oneness amongst the saints of God. And I believe the conference, such as this conference today, this weekend, is one way in which unity is promoted amongst believers. I mean, even watching the sisters in the kitchen is just a little indication of how a working together can promote unity and oneness amongst the saints. They even consulted beforehand about the plans. Then they come together. And so, whenever we are assembled as Christians in the formal meetings of the assembly, it's important that we build up and seek to sustain the believers and to work with the Church of God and seek by the help of God to promote oneness and that desire for the things of God that is a help and promotes unity amongst the people. But then notice Just briefly now, thirdly, we find that in the life of Hezekiah, while he reverenced the house and respected the people of God, and he sought to bring them together in his mind and in his actions, then you find, first of all, in verse number 5, he had a return to the Word. For it says they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. And then verse number 6, and I noted there earlier on, they stood in their place after manner according to the law of Moses. Here they were, and they're getting back to what they had strayed from. And Hezekiah believed that the former ways were right, and revival was taking place when this part of his ministry was being carried on, his work as a leader. He desired to get back to the former times and the ways that was done under God, under God's service. And I believe today that if there's those young men in our audience and you have an appreciation for the house of God, you would seek by the help of God to respect God's people. And that is the basis of power in our evangelism, in our reaching the unsaved. When the assembly is strong and there's that unity of purpose and striving together for the faith of the gospel, then as one man, we meet the foe and we can extend ourselves into the world of men with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And our assembly should be marked by accuracy in teaching, but aggressiveness in evangelism. And as we understand the importance of our calling here and the purpose for why we're gathered as a local company, we'll see there must be that unity of heart and purpose as we move forth. And then we desire to get back to God and back to His book. When we're asked sometimes by those that want to know why we believe what we believe, and that's happening today, there are young believers and they are wanting to find out from others why we believe what we believe. We can't just say to them, well, now, you know, it's in the Bible. We want to be able to take time and show them from His Word what God is saying. And if there's a return to the Word of God and showing questioning young men who have zeal and enthusiasm and want to be taught when they get themselves located in the book, and young women as well, then I believe we have proper conditions for revival. So may God speak to your hearts this morning, apply these things to our lives, and then the upwelling of the assembly.